Hello, you are listening to the High Performance Nursing Podcast with me, Liam Caswell, where I help clinicians just like you take control of their careers and remove all the things stopping you from achieving your biggest goals. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, I hope you are well. Welcome to my ad hoc random application interview tip session, because I've been supporting lots of grads and nurses through applications and interviews recently, and I thought I haven't done one of these for a while, in between moving internationally, coming back to Australia, leaving France, all of the things have been happening and it's been a lot. So I'm here and I'm kind of back getting into the game, so I need to jump on today, hello everybody that's coming in, and share some words of wisdom in preparation for grad season and non-grad season. I've been working with lots of nurses that have been struggling with their applications and their interviews coming up to application grad season. And I'm here, one, if you want to have any questions or you have any questions, queries, comments, concerns around your applications, interviews, now is your time. I'm here to support you and help you with that as I just riff on all of the things. And secondly, I'm here to share some words of wisdom, because what I have seen happening time and time again is that as nurses, because we're all so lovely and we're so kind and so caring and compassionate towards everybody else, we often forget to be all of those things to ourselves. And when it comes to applying and interviewing, it's really, really important that you demonstrate to the panel why they should pick you. And every time I say that to people, they say, but Liam, I don't want to be sleazy. I don't want to be overly confident. And if that's how you're thinking, you're getting it all wrong, my friend, because there's a way to do it so that you are not a sleazeball discussing like car salesman, saleswoman in the interview process, and you can really sell and communicate your skill set with integrity. Hi, everybody that's coming in. If you have any questions, queries relating to applications, CVs, cover letters, selection criteria, interview mindset, confidence, anything, now's your time. Use this opportunity wisely to pick my brains. And I love, love, love interaction. I love responding and supporting you all as much as I can. So please feel free to drop anything in the chat and I'll get to it. So when we are selling ourselves in the interview in particular, I want you to think about how you can make hiring you an absolute no-brainer. I was talking about this today with one of my amazing nurses, and we were coaching an interview, and she's making a transition from ED into ICU. Many of you might think, oh, that's, you know, that's like an easy transition, but it depends on how you talk to yourself and how you support yourself through that transition. And a lot of the people that I work with come to me because they are not feeling like they are capable or good enough or worthy of creating that result for themselves. So I'm here to help them and support them and guide them. And one thing that we kept talking about today when we were coaching on interview and preparation and selling yourself is the fact that you have to make hiring you an absolute no-brainer, regardless of what level you're going for, whether it's an AIN job, grad job, clinical transition, you know, into a different specialty, CNC, NUM, you have to alleviate all of the panel's potential fears, preconceived ideas about you, objections that they have just based on the data that you've already provided them, and how you dress and all of the things, because they are human at the end of the day. And you have to go in there and be able to show them and communicate that you are the fit, you are the person, you are the one that they should pass over their money, their bucket of money to you for you to be able to go and take the job. So I want you to think about when we are going out into the world and we're buying something from someone. Maybe you're an iPhone user like me and you have all of the iPhone, Apple gadgets. Maybe you're an Android. I want you to think about how easy it was for you to make a decision about buying the iPhone or the latest iPhone or the latest MacBook. I want you to think about how easy Apple have made it for us to always want to continually upgrade and buy the next thing. And this is important because it relates back to your career and to your interview. When we go to the interview, we have to present ourselves in a way that we are like the latest iPhone. We have all the bells and whistles and all the features that they're looking for, and we fit the need. We are the solution to their problem. That is how we land the job in an interview. We have to present ourselves in a way that is honest, real, integral, but it is showing the panel that we mean business and we're not here to waste their time. I can tell you, side note, from sitting in the paddle, I'd sit in your paddles and going through, like, you know, tens and tens of interviews and people coming through, and it's like a conveyor belt, right? Depending on the type of program that you're interviewing for. But honestly, as a panel member, when someone comes in and they know themselves, they know what they have to offer, and they position themselves in a way that just is like so easy for me to make a decision around hiring them, they've got the job immediately. Whether that's right or wrong, who knows? But this is the world that we live in. We live in a world where we are constantly marketed to, and the best marketer wins. That is literally why you have the TV you have, the computer that you have. It's because their marketing spoke to you above and beyond everybody else. The same is true in the application, the interview phases. So that is why, my friend, whether you're a grad or whether you're a CEO and you're going for your next role, I cannot stress the importance of having a really beautifully crafted suite of applications, CV, cover letter, selection criteria, documents. They must look like $1 million. You must be the person that pops off the desk that is like, bam, Luke has arrived. I can see Luke's here. Like, Luke has arrived and Luke has got the job. This is Luke's job. Like, from the minute they pick it up, they need to have that feeling of like, wow, this is like the iPhone. Like, oh my goodness, we need this. I absolutely need this. And I can tell you that is a rare experience when we are trying to hire and recruit nurses. Not because nurses are not good. It's because the way that we communicate and sell ourselves is not compelling. Everybody looks the same. No one looks different. Everybody looks the exact same. So I come up against this all the time. If you have any questions, by the way, now is your time. Drop them in here. I'm here for it. I'd rather answer a question than keep riffing, but I'm going to be here to riff for a little while longer. So I just want to just share some things with you. Every time I ask somebody, why do you think you should get the job? I get the same boring, tedious, generic response. Oh, because I really like caring for people. I mean, it comes from a place of, you know, self-respect and kindness, but it's just not going to cut it. Even with the mass shortage that we're facing. And I don't really want you to lead with that as your kind of core response, because you're a high performance nurse. If you're around these waters, you're a high performance nurse. And you know and deserve much, much better. You deserve to land the job that you want, not just one that they'll give you because they kind of like felt like, well, you showed up and, you know, you took a breath and you delivered a basic answer. And we kind of were like kind of certain that maybe you'd be a good fit. You want to be the good fit. You want to be the one that they're like, wow. You want to be the one like Luana that joined us in the grad GCRP, which is now the Nurse Career Academy, a few years ago. She walked into one interview. She was so confident in herself through the work that we did together that she walked into that interview. One interview she applied for, and she walked out with two job offers. Why? Because she made herself an irresistible candidate. She was like, I'm here, unapologetic. I'm here. I have what you're looking for. I meet your criteria. And little did she know that she would start this like bidding war between the CNC of ICU and the CNC NUM of ED. She got two critical care job offers. She went in for an ED job and ICU were like, no, you're amazing. We need you in ICU. Can you even imagine? The reason why she was able to do that is, one, she's amazing, like all of you are. You're all incredible. But she had uncovered her unique selling point. And two, she was able to go in there and communicate it. Now, if you think that you can communicate your unique selling point without putting the prep and the work ahead of time, you're going to have a rude awakening at the interview, my friends. I have been doing this for like 3 years. And every time I hit live to come on live, or anytime I hit to record a podcast, I still feel all the feels and feel like, what the hell am I doing? Who am I to be saying all of this? The same is true for you. But the difference between you and I might be that I have put in all this effort and time and practice that I'm able to show up. And even when no one asks questions, please feel free to ask a question. I'm able to draw upon my skills, knowledge and experience to be able to share that with you in a way that I hope resonates with you and helps you move through the application interview phases. And that is what I want for you. Because when we go to the interview and we're underprepared and we haven't really worked out what our unique selling point is and we don't know why the panel should hire us, other than I've got a degree, I've got a pulse, and I'm showing up today, like you kind of like you invited me here, so like what else do you want from me type of energy. When we don't know what our unique positioning is, it's really hard to convince the panel why they should part with 60, 65, 70k plus, okay? I'll give you another example just to bring this home. And please feel free to ask me a question in the chat. I would love questions about this. I know you're all just being shy. But this is your chance. Drop a question in there and I will dive deep into it and help you wherever you're at, whether you're a grad or a non-grad. But here's a great example of this in action. One of my non-grads that I work with, amazing nurse, 10 plus years of experience, for the last 12 months, we've been applying for different non-traditional, non-clinical roles. And for any of you that are thinking of going into a non-traditional pathway, getting a non-traditional, high-level senior nursing role is complex and very challenging. It's not something that happens overnight, even when you have a decade of experience. And on top of that, inability to sell and communicate what makes you awesome is going to make it even harder. So this amazing nurse joined our Nurse Career Academy, came and worked with myself, and we've been working together for the last 12 months. And there's been lots of reasons why it's taken us as long, like life and things happen, and that's the beauty and the flexibility in what we do. But this incredible nurse put into action all of the things I taught her, all of the things that she began to believe and see about herself and to see her achievements, and she was able to apply for a non-traditional, non-clinical role and go out and absolutely smash it. Actually, whilst I was moving internationally, she just was like, Liam, you and I have done this enough times. I'm going to just apply for this. Taking everything you taught me and put it into action. She went to the interview and absolutely sold the socks off herself, like positioned herself in a way that she was the irresistible, no-brainer candidate for this job. Wait for it because it gets better. She then got a job offer for this position, like on the spot, which is unheard of in these types of roles. And from there, she was able to negotiate her salary, get a car allowance, and negotiate working from home. I know Jodie's just popped into the chat and Jodie's ears have just gone, boom, what? It is totally possible, regardless of where you're at. But the key for this individual, this amazing human, was unlocking her unique selling point and understanding what makes her a no-brainer hire, what makes her an irresistible candidate, what makes it impossible for the panel to say no. That's where you want to be. You don't want to be teetering on the edges of like good enough. You want to be teetering on the edges of like, oh yeah, like this, you know, midway, like you're in the middle, but you're still at risk of being dropped because, you know, if there's somebody that better comes along, you're going to be bumped down. You always, 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 if you're in this community, you do not settle for second best. You want to do and be the best that you possibly can be in the application interview process. And that's what that individual was able to do. And the result was a non-traditional, non-clinical senior pharma role, making 50k more than they were making previously, taking their salary to very high, mid six figures, like six figures plus, working from home, car allowance, travel allowance, balance, mental and emotional stability and health. And also, they're working with me to build a side hustle. So it's totally doable to create that result for yourself and then get a flavor of like building your own thing online. I truly believe that if you're a nurse in 2024 and you're busting your ass working overtime, it's not scalable and you're going to burn out. Every nurse needs to be building a personal brand online, finding your unique selling point, telling your story, and monetizing it. That's a story for a whole different day, but that is what is coming in this world because I've done it and I know how it works and I want to teach more people to be able to create that result for themselves. So the key there is learning what makes you you and unique, taking that, running with it and selling it. Literally an interview is selling. You are selling yourself, which makes sense, right? Maybe you tell yourself you're not good at interview. The reason why you're not good at interview is because you probably never sold shit in your life, and that's totally fine. Normalize it, accept it, and then build the skill. We don't want to sit there and worry about the fact that we don't have these skills. We go and find the gap. We find the who or the how to fill that gap so we can go out and develop that skill so we can slay it and smash it and get all of the results. That's what I'm here for. Absolutely. Okay, we've got a question. What's the process to continue? If you've got a question, by the way, please drop it in the chat or a comment or a statement. I'm here for it. I love responding to these questions rather than me rambling on. Okay, Manprukura. What's the process to continue nursing practice in foreign countries? Oh, you're going to have to give me more information here. What's the process to continue nursing practice in foreign countries? Well, one, based on my experience, because I'm trained in the UK, And I'm registered in the UK. I'm no longer registered in the UK. I let that slip. Oops. I just realised this week that's a bit of a problem, but I am still registered in Australia. Anyway, I'm never going to work in the NHS ever again. But it would be getting your registration and seeing what the transferability of your skills would be. That would be the first step. So going to the national, like the board. So in Australia, it's the APRA, Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Authority, board, and just checking to see what if your qualifications are transferable. That would be the first step. And then filling the gap again, if there's a gap there, fill it, go and find it, do what they need you to do, jump through the hoops and make it happen. Bella. Is a selling point the lived experience that someone has in a specific sector? And how do we go about selling that to whoever it may be? Amazing. Bella, love this question. Your unique selling point is relative to whatever you want and what you're applying to, right? Let's say, for example, like the nurse that I was coaching earlier today. Amazing clinician. Has a couple of years experience under her belt, CCU and ED. Is applying for ICU. Her unique selling point is that she already has critical care experience. In comparison to a nurse that's coming from aged care or from rehab or even medicine surgery, she has a strategic advantage because she already has critical care experience. So it would be a miss of her to not even talk about it or to not really lay it on thick. So today in coaching, we talked about, okay, every time you respond to a question, you must remind the panel. You must keep repositioning yourself and showing them, oh, remember I told you I've got ED experience. So, you know, this would look like in context, it would look like them saying something along the lines of, you know, recently during my time working the emergency department, I was able to leverage my critical thinking, critical care skills, caring for a patient in triage, and give them an example. Or they could wrap it up in the interview. You're always looking for opportune times to give them a reason why they should hire you above and beyond everybody else. So Bella, I want you to tell me in the comment what you think your unique selling point is. And I can tell you. And here's the thing. There's no right or wrong. This is a beautiful thing. There's nothing that's not a unique selling point. So we've had people that have worked in Hungry Jack's, right? And they're like, I don't know what my unique selling point is. I'm like, customer service. Conflict, I'm sure you faced a lot of conflict, negotiation skills, customer experience, all of those are transferable unique selling points that you can bring to your application and your interview. Some of you have more explicit experience, like maybe you've been an NDIS carer, maybe you've been an AIN, a PCA, maybe you've been a pharmacist in a past life, maybe you've been a dental nurse. All of those, again, are unique selling points. A dental nurse, for example, is excellent at aseptic technique. They'd be great at patient experience and calming a patient's nerves. That all needs to come over into the application. That becomes your unique selling point. It's what makes them remember you in the sea of thousands. It's what shows them that you're a step ahead of other people. Each one of you listening to this has a unique selling point. You just have to uncover it and suss it out and see what it is. So definitely tell me what that is, Bella, in the chat. And how do we go about selling that to someone, whoever it may be? It's in how we write. In our application, how we write about our experiences, how we show them the value of that unique selling point and transferable skill. So for example, like I mentioned with the dental nurse, aseptic technique, that needs to be in the professional summary in the CV. It must be littered through the achievements in the resume. It must be mentioned in your cover letter, must be mentioned in the selection criteria responses, and then continuity in the interview itself. That amongst all the other amazing, unique selling things that come from being a dental nurse, for example. So we're opportune all the bloody time. Jodie, getting the application in front of the right person is the thing. Yes, this is where networking, and Jodie, I know that we're working on this, but this is where networking, leveraging social media, leveraging your amazing online presence. This is another reason why I think nurses should be building a personal brand, is because we can be positioned in a way that people can find us, that you're not having to go out and find people, getting in touch with recruiters, which I know Jodie is doing, but also making sure that we're opportune with our networking, okay? For example, the person I was talking about earlier, the non-traditional nursing path, she just happened to connect with somebody before she left her job over a year ago. They came back to her like last month and said, hey, I remember we had this chat, and it was like an off-the-cuff, like 5-minute chat, where this individual had said, hey, like, if you know anything is coming up in your organization, I'm totally keen. So even if places, organizations, grad programs, hospitals, non-traditional pathways do not have jobs widely accessible and open and available, you can still contact them and say, hey, if anything ever comes up, here's my resume. I'd love to be considered. Keep me in mind. Okay? And show them, again, make it really clear why they should pick you. Why they should even bother opening the email. It's so, so important. I've got so many jobs from just doing that. I got a role being a clinical facilitator and marker for universities. So I needed a little break from my CNC job because I was burning out big time. So I just literally emailed the university and I said, hey, here's my resume. If anything ever comes up, please let me know. I would love to be considered. And I presented my resume in a way that was like, well, I'd already worked for the ACN and done some for an agency that created ACN endorsed courses, which was education focused. I put that in there. I also had done clinical facilitation as an agency nurse for universities in Sydney. So I put that in there. I changed up my professional summary, spent probably 30 minutes updating my resume. And then I said to them, hey, like, look at me, I've got all of these things. Oh, and I've got a master's because I know the unis love master's. And I've got a Cert 4 and whatever it is, I can't remember the name of it, TAE. And I just positioned myself in a way that it made it me an irresistible offer. And I got a call back the next day. That doesn't always happen. It's not like I've sent plenty that have been rejected and not gone through. But that's what I would be doing in that situation. Bad communication with nurses, manager in charge, service not helpful to me. Tell me more. I'm so interested to hear. And I'm so sorry that you've had that experience. This is the reality, right? I'm going to be real. This is the reality of working in healthcare. I don't need to tell you guys this. You guys are on the front line. You're working at, you're in the shit, right? As we would say, you're in the depths of it. But the reality is, just due to the way that healthcare is designed and the system is designed, we are in a system that does not prioritize our mental and emotional health and well-being. It exploits it. And the quicker and the sooner that we realize that we are, unfortunately, all dysregulated humans, which means that we have been in a system that is not putting our best foot forward and is not supporting us to do so, for prolonged periods of time, that creates this culture that we're all privy to, where we have bad communication, bad behavior. It's not because nurses are bad per se, it's because we're humans with a human brain. And when we're not in an environment that allows us to thrive and prosper, we break down. And that's literally what happens. And that's why we have the burnout pandemic. Bad communication between nurse managers at Greenside, LD, and NHS. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. And again, this is often because my take on this, the real take is, I think that people are promoted, they're not supported, and therefore they become dysregulated, and those behaviours inadvertently affect the team. I genuinely choose to believe, I don't have evidence for this, but I choose to believe that people are doing the best with what they can. That's what I choose to believe. And that these kind of behaviours is because somebody is suffering mentally and emotionally, they need help and support. And I try my best not to take that on as my own, like it's a representation of my worth or my worthiness or capability. I really try and think about and create space for like what's going on for them. To be able to show up like that, what is happening there? This is not okay. Bella, back to Bella. I'm looking at applying for graduate mental health AOD. I've lived experience as a family member. Amazing. The skills would be understanding struggles, patients. Love this. Incredible, Bella. This is your unique selling point. Okay, so your professional summary needs to talk about your lived experience supporting peers, family members through the mental health process, right? Through AOD, I'm assuming is, I don't know, these abbreviations. I don't know if I'm up with the abbreviations. Anyway, I can kind of guesstimate what it might be. But I love that, understanding struggles, patients, etc. So new professional summary, talk about supporting people through the lived experience, providing mental and emotional support, creating psychological safety for the people in your life, you know, using your nursing theory, skills and knowledge and your lived experience to support them, but also showing them that you're bringing all of this to your nursing career. You're bringing all of this to the job that you're applying to, and show them the benefit. Show them, like, you know, when you hire me, you're not saying it explicitly like this, but you're saying this through words. When you hire me, this is the package that you get. And I already come pre-built in with like mental health awareness, right? And maybe, I don't know, maybe you've done a mental health first aid course. Maybe you haven't, that's totally fine. Maybe you've been in that particular hospital that you're applying to, and you've experienced the positive patient experience that your family or peers have experienced. That could be your unique selling point, right? Maybe being exposed to people that have mental health challenges has equipped you with really deep empathy, compassion, verbal and non-verbal communication skills, active listening, the ability to coach and help people through their challenges. That is your unique selling point. Amazing. Yes, Bella. Bella, if you're not already in our Nurse Growth Hub, it's totally free. Go and join it. It's liamcaswell.com/NGH. And in there, we've got our CV, our cover letter, selection criteria, resources, how to do your resume. That will get you started. And I have like over 150 episodes on the podcast of how to really sell and communicate your skill set. I do have something coming in the future where you guys might be able to get some support with me on this, but I'm still nutting it out, so I'm not disclosing that here today, but I'm super excited about it. But that's what I would do there. Bella, let me know if that helps. Let me know if that supports you in bringing that to fruition. Bella, you would then just mention that in your interviews as well, right? You'd just be saying to them each response, you know, during my time on placement in the palliative care unit, I leverage my deep ability to engage in therapeutic relationships and communication with my patients to deliver patient-centered care. For example, I had a patient who was, you know, admitted for complex, you know, palliative care needs. I'm just riffing. My task was to use my therapeutic relationship building and rapport building skills gained from my personal and professional lived experiences to be able to provide patient-centered holistic palliative care. I achieved this by active listening, engaging in deep rapport, open questioning, getting to the level, you know, using touch, respecting boundaries, demonstrating empathy, being flexible in my communication approach, leveraging non-verbal routes, you know, using notes, all of the things that you do every single day because you're an amazing human. Right. And as a result of my ability to engage in rapport building therapeutic communication, I was able to improve that patient's experience in palliative care. Hope you can see there how I'm just layering what you've told me into like what that would be a star response for your selection criteria if you need to do it, or a cover letter. But that would also be a interview response for your interview. OK, let me know in the chat if that resonates. Kristen. Hey, Kristen. I feel like I have a similar question. How do you bring non-clinical experience into selection criteria as a grad with no clinical experience other than crack? Okay, I'm going to tell you all one thing. You have 3 years of clinical experience. Did you know that? You have 3 years. Let's all stop underselling how amazing you are. And I know you might say, oh, I was in six months, I was in uni, but you still have 3 years of diverse clinical experience. I don't want you to lead with that on your resume, but I want you to tell yourself that, right? So many of you tell me, I don't really have much experience. But I see the opposite. I see that you have, you know, 3 years of experience that you can leverage, that you can use, that you really need to start selling yourself on so that when you go to the interview, that you can see through that lens, like you actually have skills, knowledge, and experience. I know many of you feel like you've been done bad by the system, and I hear you, but you still must start acknowledging what you have. Okay. Kristen, I want to know what non-clinical experience you have. Tell me what you have and let's talk about that. But the reality is, non-clinical experience, as I mentioned earlier, Hungry Jack's, working in calls, project management, real estate, dental nursing, vet nursing, you know, like barista, doesn't matter. They all have transferable things to nursing. Customer service, relationship, rapport building, communication, active listening, complaints management. Across the board, you could have been an insurance call center agent. And you have customer service skills. You have negotiation skills. You have advocacy skills. You have escalation skills. All of these things are transferable. You could have worked in a bar at the, I don't know what the, is it the Kudos in Sydney? I don't know. Like you could have worked at a bar in a friggin' stadium. Again, customer service skills, communication skills, delivering a service skills. They're all transferable. And the way that you bring them in into your selection criteria is that you literally show them through your clinical placements how you've brought your stadium, you know, drink pourer. I can't even talk today. My brain's like, ugh. Like barista, you bring your barista skills into student nursing and then you just show them through your placement that you know, I have this barista customer service skills and I brought them into nursing. I'm going to bring them into this role as well. So Kirsten, I'm going to come to the bottom to see if you've put that in there. No, you haven't yet. Let me know. Oh, Jody, thanks. Alcohol and drug. I knew it would be simple. God, I tell you. I'm getting out of touch. See, this is why it's important to ask questions, people. If you don't know, you just have to ask and look like a fool. I love it. So, Kristen, sorry, let me know. Okay, so I'll be graduating with my diploma in nursing. EN nursing. I love that. Congratulations. Oh, this is a good one. Are there any short courses you would recommend post-grad to support my application? In short, I would recommend that you do not do anything extra. Okay? Hear me loud and clear. Don't do anything extra. Unless you really feel like it's going to add immense value. And what I mean by that is, let's say you are going for a specialty, and that's a really, really competitive specialty. And I'll use like ED for example. Let's say you're going for ED and it's super, super challenging to get in, and there's lots of people want ED. I would say if you wanted to, you could do a, above and beyond short course that is kind of above and beyond an undergraduate degree or a TAFE course. But I wouldn't, for everybody else, I would not go down that path. I think that when we show people that we're really good at the basics, that's what gets you into your first role. Having all the bells and whistles, sometimes I think it comes from a place of like not feeling like we have enough, because I know like I'm a certificate collector. I just collected another one. But I chose that time to do that intentionally, right? And I'm not applying for jobs, but I want you to really think about, does it add value to the job that you're going for? I.e., is it super competitive and it's going to give you a competitive advantage? If not, don't do it. Save your money and really get good at learning how to sell and communicate what you have. Okay? Because if you can't sell and communicate what you have and you add something else to it, it's not going to get you the job. We've got to learn the skill of selling and communicating what you have already to be able to, leverage the benefit of, let's say, doing an advanced life support course or a short course or a postgraduate course. So I hope that answers your question. The short answer is no, I wouldn't. I would just really show them how amazing you are as an EN right now, as you are. Save yourself some dollars and snag the role. Make your CV, cover letter, selection criteria, interview amazing. And then when you're in the role and you've decided that this is what you like, then you can do some more study. That's what I would say. Bella, you are so welcome. Tara, hey Tara. What would you suggest for those who are applying for new grad programs this year that are still unsure of what field of nursing they want to go into? Love this question. I think I did a podcast on this recently. I think I did. If you don't know what you want to do, here's the thing. Grad years are about not knowing. Let's be real. Like, they're about not knowing. No one says you have to have it all figured out or all worked out. And I actually think, Tara, that people like yourself are in a better position. Having done this hundreds of times, helped lots of grads, over 300 grads apply, interview, and land their first role. The people that get hell-bent on needing the absolute one role, like I must get ICU, I must get ED, they create a bit of a situation for themselves whereby if they don't get the right support and help and they don't broaden their horizons, that they will get very stuck. And potentially miss out on opportunities because they go all in on the one. With yourself, Tara, I see that you could have multiple potential opportunities, which adds another layer of problems because you then go, oh my goodness, I could apply for all these, and it gets a little overwhelming. So it's about finding the sweet spot and looking back to what you've already done in your career up until this point and just going, okay, based on what I've done, based on all of the data that I've collected, the knowledge, the skills, the experience, what was I most interested in? And using that as a starting point. Because the reality is, some of you have not had much exposure, right? Some of you come and tell me, Liam, I've done community for 3 years, like legit. And I say to you, well, of course you don't know what you want to do. If you haven't been exposed to lots of different diverse specialties and subspecialties, then let's normalize the fact that you don't know and leverage that as a superpower. Go out and apply for all the graduate programs. Give yourself the most opportunities possible. If you're only applying for one to two grad programs, you are potentially putting yourself in a situation where you leave without a job. Especially those of you that are in Queensland. I don't say this to scaremonger you. I say this because Queensland is a hot spot right now. Everybody's moving to Queensland. I would if it wasn't so humid. Everybody's moving to Queensland because Queensland pays the most across all states and territories. So you have so much more competition, and that's why That's why every graduate nurse must apply for more than one or two, three, four roles. But if you don't know where you want to go, normalize it. Don't spend another minute thinking about that. Just follow the process, look at jobs, suss them out, see if you're interested in applying for them, see if they're doable, see if they're local to you, apply for them, and decide on the way. Some of you won't know what you're doing until like a year in. Some of you won't know what you're doing until 10 years in. I still am trying to work out what I'm doing with my career, which is ironic because I help people with their careers. But that's the beauty of a nursing career. We never really truly know. And if anybody says they've got it all worked out, they're lying to you. Or they're stuck and they're jaded and they're pissed off and they hate their life. Tara, I hope that helps. But I did definitely do an episode on this. Go and check it out on the High Performance Nursing Podcast. The long and the short of it is it's a great place to be. And I truly believe that when you take all the pressure off needing to know, that you will unearth what it is that you actually want. I think that sometimes we can overthink to the point where we don't allow ourselves to see the opportunities that are right in front of us. So you're amazing. That's great. Joanne says, wanting to become CNS but worried. Tell me, what's the worry? What's the worry? Someone says no. So I'm assuming that's about the study. Oh, Joanne, I've got you here. I am one second, bad nurses manager in charge of NHS service. Yeah, I hear you, mate. There are a lot of interesting humans in interesting roles across the spectrum. And I always come back to thinking about what's within my control, what can I do about it, and what makes me feel more aligned and better when I think about these people or these situations. Because I've spent my fair share of time trying to control other people. And I don't know if you're like me, but it never works. I mean, I've been telling my partner to start washing the dishes for the last 10, 12 years. He still hasn't done it. He still doesn't do it. So I think that we have to, sometimes we have to just accept reality for what it is. And we have to make a decision. Are we willing to stay here and learn how to deal with this individual and better manage ourselves around them so that we don't take it home with us? Or do we just find some safety, quit the job, move on from the job, create a bit of space, take some leave, and then go and find another role? There's always a solution. It just, often, unfortunately, we need to actually face our own shit and get over it and work towards solving that issue because they're not going to change, okay? Joanne, okay, let's talk about this. Wanting to apply for CNS but feel I'm not good enough, even though I have great feedback from my NUM. Joanne, you are not alone, my friend. This is a case of really allowing ourselves to show our brain that we have all of the things, okay? So I'm so curious, Joanne, for you. You've got all of this evidence to suggest that you could be great for the CNS role, right? Like your manager, your NUM is telling you, hey, Joanne, you can do this. You've got all of the things. But there's something inside of you that's stopping you from going ahead and applying. And often this is just the fear, right? The fear of not knowing what to do, how to apply, how to do the cover letter, how to do the selection criteria, how to interview. But there's also other layers to it. And I'm so curious, Joanne, if this is something that's been ongoing, like if it's been coming up, the CNS role, and then you look at it and then you stop yourself from applying. Because often there's a bit of a theme here, right? Anytime that we do have a feeling of like unworthiness or not feeling good enough, there's a narrative or a thought or a story that we're telling ourselves that's stopping us from taking action. Because here's the thing, if you were thinking, hey, I'm really set up for this CNS job, like I've got the experience, I've got the skills, you'd be feeling empowered and you would have already applied and got that damn job. So how can we increase your self-validation, your self-awareness of what you have to offer and move forward and apply for that job unapologetically? And I love, Joanne, thinking about worst case scenario. Now, we're all clinicians here. We all are really good at thinking about worst case scenario. I live my life in worst case scenario. Literally, I'm always like, oh, what's the worst case scenario that could happen here? So Joanne, for you, the worst case scenario is you apply for the CNS, you give it your all, you use our resources in the Nurse Growth Hub, you apply, you interview, and you do your absolute best. You show them your unique selling point. You show them why they should pick you. And if the job doesn't come to fruition, you don't get the role, you leave having given yourself the opportunity to try. You leave yourself in a better position than you would if you chose not to go for it. That is my firm belief. Like, that's evidence-based, right? You would be much better off going, applying, interviewing, and getting a knockback because you'll have data and information. I love thinking of it like this. when we are applying and interviewing for jobs, we're going out there, we're putting ourselves out there. Of course, we're going to feel fear, worry, concern, frustration, disappointment. Because you're moving into a higher level of yourself. You are giving yourself more opportunity. Every time, every level that you level up your career from AIN to grad to clinical nurse specialist to CNE to CNC to ANUM to NUM, you have to shift your identity. Those stories that you tell yourself at the level of RN on the floor don't get you to CNS. You have to update your identity. You have to update your belief system about who you are and what you have to offer the world. From third year student nurse to graduate nurse, you must elevate the way that you talk to yourself, the way that you sell yourself and communicate what makes you amazing and unique. Each career level requires an identity shift. I realized this very quickly when I was trying to apply for my first CNS position, and I was getting knockbacks galore. I was in such a state of like not seeing what I had to offer. I was feeling unworthy. I was looking externally for validation and taking it very welcomingly, but I was not validating myself. So Joanne, I'm curious. I see a beautiful opportunity here for you to validate what you've already done. Here's one thing that every one of you on this can do, and I'll probably repost this as a podcast so that people can listen back to it. But Joanne, one thing that I really want you to do is to create a list of all of the things that you've achieved since you started your nursing career. I want all of you to think back to day one of undergrad nursing for you. I want you to think back to that version of you, and I want you to think about how far you have come since that version of you. I want you to think about what you were thinking as that version of you, what you were feeling, and I want you to think about how you think and feel now about how much you've achieved. It's a really powerful activity to show your brain, because if left to its own devices, your brain will just keep convincing you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's unsafe. Stay in the comfort, even though it's uncomfortable, because you know you could do more, but you're holding yourself back. We got to get out of our own way. I'm being harsh today. We got to get out of our own way, because when we do, we build belief in ourselves and we create incredible results. What if, Joanne, you could land a CNS job? Smash it out of the park. I know it's true, because you absolutely 100% can, and I don't even know anything about you. But you absolutely can give yourself the opportunity, try, learn, take the feedback, keep trying. I teach this all the time. What if there's no failing unless you quit? What if you don't fail? What if we take failing off the table and it's just feedback? I know people say this all the time, like, oh, it's just fail, it's like first attempt in learning, but it's freaking true. I have failed so many times. I've failed with so many things in my nursing career, my personal life. I feel like moving back to Australia was a fail with all the things that have happened since I got back here, and I've been processing that. But it's not, it's all just feedback, it's data. And as clinicians, what do? We collect clinical data and we make an informed decision. What happens is we collect clinical data or we collect career data, and then our brain gets in the way and we overthink the shit out of everything. And we go to like worst case scenario, but it's not a good worst case scenario. It's like keeps us so stuck in the fear. Okay, so Joanne, I want you to go for it. I want to hear from you. I want you to go for it. Tara, you're so welcome. Bad communication. No, it's about everyone moving to Queensland. It's already hard enough to get a go. I know, bones and stitches. I know, I'm so sorry. It is like literally, it's the hot spot. Everybody's moving up there for sure. Yes, Joanne, you are so welcome. Honestly, the moment that we can give ourselves permission to see that we are capable, it's scary and it's exciting at the same time. Here's one thing that I learned about feeling emotions and feeling emotions like fear. Have you ever been to like a theme park where you're going to go on like the scariest ride? I mean, I'm shit scared of heights. But you go to a theme park and you're there for the day, and like in anticipation of the day, part of my brain is like, you know, Liam, you're going to go on a ride, you're going to die. It's going to fall out of the sky because that's just how my brain works. And then part of me is like excited for the experience and the memories and the fun and the laughter and like the thrill of the adrenaline. The same is true, right? So when I'm going to that roller coaster park, like the theme park, I'm feeling fear, but I'm also feeling excitement. What if it could be true that you could feel the fear and also do it anyway, because you know that there's a mixture within that emotional experience. It's not just the fear. Because when you finish the interview, even though you probably are like, oh my God, I forgot so many things, you're also proud of yourself. if you allow yourself to feel that pride, right? There's duality in every situation. It's not clear cut. So the fear will always be there when you're leveling up. So Joanne, I'm so excited. If you need help, you know where I am. If you're not in our resource hub, the Nurse Growth Hub, go and get in there, liamcaswell.com/NGH. And that will get you started with all the resources and you can take it from there. I heart Johnny, I am saving this live. I think Instagram does that automatically. But yeah, it'll also be on the High Performance Nursing podcast because I'm going to repurpose it because I'm trying to be smart. Work a little smarter, not harder. Do we have any other final questions? Such good questions. Now is your time. Like, seriously, now is the time to ask any application, interview, mindset, career growth questions. Here's the thing, right? I think that so many of us hold ourselves back because of the state of the situation that we work in. And we maybe think that, you know, somebody, I get this question all the time with a statement, somebody else has been decided for the role, or, you know, maybe I don't have enough experience or I don't meet all the criteria. If there's ever a role that you want to apply for, I say go for it, even if you are grossly underqualified for it. Because the worst thing that can happen is you learn. And the best thing that can happen is you get the job. Like, there's literally no, there's no rules, right? There's no rules. If people put criteria on a job, it means that that's their ideal situation. That's what they're looking for. But if you don't meet 1, 2, 3, 4, all of the criteria, call the manager, have a conversation with them, and suss out before you put pen to paper, before you start applying, if it's potentially something that you would like to explore. And if it is, amazing, apply and go for it. Recently this week, just as I wrap up, if there's any other final questions, now is your time. I've been working with a couple of amazing nurses actually that are aged care nurses that have come to Australia. I've been working in aged care for a couple of years and they've been told the narrative that, you know, you come in from overseas, as an overseas nurse, you come to Australia, you're not going to be able to land kind of a public sector job. You're going to have to go into aged care and kind of like build your career from there. This is the narrative that runs rife in the industry. It is a false narrative. It is a false narrative. We have helped people come from overseas and go straight into ICU. Like, they can go into wherever they want to go. It's just a matter of positioning yourself, your applications, your interview, and your mindset, okay? So with this individual, aged care experience, previously worked in ICU overseas for 2 years, came here, aged care, got into aged care, slowly been losing a little bit of their self-worth and capacity as a nurse because they're de-skilling in aged care, but they're also upskilling in other areas. But they thought that they would not be able to get a job in critical care. And we applied to, I think we've applied to 2 or 3 roles now, and they've already got an interview callback for a CCU. Now, we're open to all the things, because if you're somebody that is trying to pivot your career and trying to get into a different specialty or do something different, make a specialty jump, as I would call it, you better just give yourself all the options and get your foot in the door and then from there pivot. But this amazing human is interviewing this week, I think Thursday, for a CCU role from aged care. And I'm not bagging aged care here. I think all specialties are valid and equal. But what I hear time and time again is it's not doable. But it's doable when you know how to sell yourself. iPhone, Apple sell so many phones because they know how to sell the phone. That's it. It's not the best phone on the market. There are better phones on the market, but they know how to sell it, so it's one of the most popular. Jodie, if you're applying for non-bedsides, do you apply for many roles like a grad program? I feel like I'm a bit spring praying at the moment. Many jobs out there. Jodie, exactly what I just said there. 100%. We spray and we pray. We spray and we pray, but we have a strategy, right? We follow the process. We call the manager. We have a strategy. We tailor and tweak those applications. And we connect. Jodie, for what you're looking to do, get into the non-traditional space, I would be applying, but also connecting to call the manager. Or if we're not calling and we can't call, definitely connecting on platforms like LinkedIn, or also connecting just via email itself and making that initial introduction. 100%. Recruiters galore. If you're not leveraging recruiters and you are a nurse looking for a new job, kind of typically post-graduate year, but yeah, even grads, You must start sussing out some healthcare recruiters. Watch this space. I'm launching a nurse recruitment agency and company with my peer Michelle from Aesthetic Nurse Recruitment, who works in the aesthetic nursing recruitment space. So of course I'm biased, but we really are passionate about helping nurses find the right job and also then be supported in that transition. So watch this space. It's going to be called Aussie Nurse Recruiters, and we're super excited about it. But yeah, that's what I'd be doing, Jody, in this situation, is making sure that you are spraying and praying strategically. Perfect. No, that's all good, Jody. I know. It's awesome. I love your questions. Thank you so much for showing up. Alrighty. Thanks, everybody. This was fun. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go live off the cuff, as always. But I love, love, love responding to you guys and answering your questions. If you are here or you're listening back to this, watching back to this, make sure that you check out our free Nurse Career Growth Hub. It has CV cover letter, interview notes, templates, all of the resources that you could possibly need to get kickstarted with your applications, interviews, mindset, all of the things, including some curated podcast feeds there for specific questions that you guys always ask me, and it's completely free for the time being. So if you're not in there, I would go and join it, because I might be changing that as I move forward. It's liamcaswell.com/NGH. And otherwise, you know where I am. Drop into the DMs if you have a specific question, and I'd love to support you. All the best. Cheers. Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'm so privileged that you spent your time with us here today. Hey, can I ask a favor? If you know someone that would benefit from this podcast episode, please share it with them. The more you share, the more we get in front of amazing nurses, and we're able to help them see that nursing on their terms across their career is totally possible for them. So I'd love if you could do that. Now, I will see you in the next episode next week. Until then, let's make this year the year that you nurse on your terms. Are you ready? Let's do it.